This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
I don't mind. Oh, I just got an update. Woodsy's in line at Disneyland for parking, so they are early. They're going to be rope dropping at the Magic Kingdom this morning. Welcome back. Luckily for us, we got Sam Levitt in studio today. I found out that Sammy has never been to Disneyland. That is so sad.
Wow.
Sam.
I know.
So
I've been
sad.
To Disney World.
That doesn't count.
A couple of times. But here's but my impression without having ever gone to Disneyland is that Disney World was far bigger and better.
That's incorrect. But
you
that later. I've been to Disney World. It is far bigger and far worse, in my opinion.
It is far bigger.
It is far bigger.
Okay.
And much, much worse.
I mean,
I'm not
like a Disney
No, I'm a
adult,
Southern California
so
homer.
I believe you. I'd be happy to embrace Disneyland as the better Disney.
I know you're an adult now, but you need to do an entire day doing Magic Kingdom and California Adventure.
You know
and
what? Tell Hold me. On. I got a text
tell
here from
me what
my dad.
You think.
My dad says I was there. I was 10.
Oh, so you have
so apparently I have been.
You don't remember 10 years old?
Made such an impression
guess,
on you.
Well, the
it feels like you were 3 years old. I understand.
The first time we were here, I remember that trip a little bit. I do not remember going to Disneyland, so apparently I have been.
Wow.
Oops.
Sammy's childhood trauma now coming back to the forefront.
Disney World, I remember. I don't. But Disney World, that's the thing, is like you go down. It was for, you know, whatever it was, a few days up to a week. I think Disneyland must have been. That was probably part of our California trip.
We'll table that discussion because I do want to get to last night's moment at Crypto.com Arena. And we have Take on John coming up. He usually comes over a little early. So if you want to be a contestant, the state tickets for Saturday night at Snapdragon Stadium, a game I will be at. So maybe you will see me out there if you win those tickets to the game at Snapdragon Stadium on Saturday night. But call in now, 833-288-0973, and you can take on John, who, by the way, is starting to get a little overconfident. He thinks he's better at this game than Woods. And we're going to, at some point, do a Tournament of Champions Clash of the Titans between Woods and John. But John thinks he can take down Woods, so we'll see. We've got a mystery category specifically for John and our listeners today. So that's coming up. First of all, though, I knew what was coming. We all knew it was coming. I told you, there's no way they're not going to get Bronny into the game last night because J.J. Redick, they're smart enough that they don't want the question being asked every single game. is this tonight the night? Are you finally going to get him in? Are they going to do it? They had to do it and get it over with. And honestly, kind of went as I expected. A couple of minutes, didn't play again. But what I think I was unprepared for was, and Paulie, tell me that I'm wrong, what a cool and emotional moment it was to see LeBron and his son check into a game together at the same time.
That was cool.
It was cool, wasn't it?
I don't think it didn't really matter how it happened to me. I just kind of pictured LeBron's going to already be on the court, and then you'll hear, you know, checking in LeBron James Jr. or Bronny or whatever. But for them to both be on the bench and then come in at the same time, rip off the warm-ups, was pretty freaking cool. I mean, the whole night was just awesome. Like, we talked about it yesterday. The Griffies were going to be in attendance, the only father-son combo to ever play in any sport together, and at least the major sports. And then when, like, you're showing the pregame footage of the four of them sitting there on the court talking, I'm like, that's going to be one of the cooler photos you'll see in sports.
I really didn't think anything would top the Griffies, and maybe it hasn't. The fact that they legitimately were, like, playing together in a lineup, back-to-back home runs, one of the coolest things in, like, the history of sports.
It wasn't like low A ball and Griffey Sr. was just, like, coming down for a ceremonial appearance or anything like that. That was on the big league level.
But at that point, Ken Griffey Jr. was such a hyped, you know, huge star prospect. And I think we already knew he was probably going to be better than his dad, you know, at some point. This hit a little differently for me, you know, knowing that LeBron is the legend of this duo, but having to be the dad and, like, truly be the dad and watch that moment. And maybe it's the fact that I'm a dad now. I wasn't when, you know, Griffey's obviously were doing their thing, but just having that moment with your son on the court just kind of, he got to me for a second. And, you know, he didn't score. He had that one moment where he had a little pass from LeBron for an open three, and it looked good on the way. I mean, I think that arena was ready to just absolutely blow up. And I don't know how much he'll get in the next few games. Didn't come back in. Lakers did win. They looked pretty good, actually. Anthony Davis was awesome. But I just thought it was a really cool moment.
It was fun. Like, I'm not a Lakers fan at all. I've always been a LeBron James fan. And just, like, as soon as they checked in, like, there was even a moment where, like, LeBron had the ball and Bronny was kind of coming around behind him, avoiding a screen, and, like, they just handed the ball off to each other and then back to LeBron. And I'm like, that is so cool. A father and a son. Like, I don't know that anybody ever thought that would ever happen in basketball. Like, it's only happened once in baseball, and I think baseball is probably the easiest sport or the most likely where it could happen. I don't know that anybody ever saw this happening.
Yeah, I mean, even Tony Gwynn Jr. was only like a year or so after his dad retired. I mean, it wasn't that far away. But to have a long enough basketball career like LeBron into his 22nd opening day for LeBron James, and then have a kid who, you know, was born essentially when he was, his first or second NBA season,
right. And
now playing together, it's remarkable. And I thought I was going to be a little cynical about it because LeBron's been talking about this for
a long time,
like 3 years, going, come on, your kid's in high school, let's not put the cart in front of the horse here. But then it actually came true. And whether or not you think Bronny deserved it or deserved to be drafted after one, you know, season at USC.
That's a stupid talking point. Everybody knows that. Like, Bronny would not have gotten drafted if he wasn't LeBron James's son. And he certainly wouldn't have gotten playing, like, minutes yesterday on opening night. The 56th pick in the draft. Like, those guys don't get minutes, especially on opening night. Everybody knows what was happening. But sometimes when you have a player like LeBron James or Michael Jordan or whoever, like, they transcend the game for just a moment. I think, you know, Skip Bayless might have had an issue with it, and everybody else, it's like, just enjoy the moment.
Yeah, and Bronny didn't look completely out of, you know, overmatched on the court. He looked a little small compared to some of the other guys out there, which I think is going to be a problem going forward. But it didn't look like he was in over his head at any moment.
I think it's the acceptance, like you were saying, Paulie, about what the reality of the situation is. Like, if you want to look at it as, well, you know, Bronny wouldn't have got drafted if he isn't LeBron's son, fine. But he is LeBron's son, and it was a late second round pick. ends. This was clearly a goal of LeBron to play with his son, and it's kind of worth it for the cool moment. And you know what? I think LeBron has sort of earned that right to have that moment with his son, and it's a pretty unique situation.
I was listening to Tony Gwynn Jr. a little bit yesterday about this, and obviously he thinks it's pretty cool. He's a Lakers fan, and you know he's the son of a legend who then played. Now, Tony was a really good college baseball player and absolutely was going to get drafted. His name was Tony Smith. He was going to get drafted. Now, he went in the second round, and I wonder if, you know, if he ever thought. I wonder if my name being Gwynn moved me up a little bit on the charts as opposed to just, you know, being someone else, which is fine. There's no reason that he should feel bad about that if that is the case at all. But, you know, his dad was drafted in the third round. He was drafted in the second round, of the draft. And I think the name probably had something to do with it. And again, not taking anything away from Tony. He was a fantastic player at San Diego State. He was going to get drafted.
There was a really cool moment in the game yesterday. And again, if it's anybody else and another player, it's a very nothing moment. Guys are mic'd up in the NBA all the time. Guys talk to each other on the bench. For me, just seeing a father and a son in an NBA game was so cool. And there was a moment yesterday when LeBron, I think they're coming back from like commercial break, and they just said, you know, moments ago, and LeBron was mic'd up and he's talking to Bronny, who's about to go into the game for his very first time.
Y'all ready? All right. You see the intensity, right? Just play carefree, though. Don't worry about mistakes. Just go out and play hard.
You ready?
Awesome.
Don't worry about the intensity.
Yeah. Just bring the intensity. Don't worry about the mistakes. Just go out and play hard. So this last bit of advice. That was really cool. All right. I see Johnny out there. I think we got a contestant on the line. If you're on hold, stay there because we're about to play. We'll take on John.
For Take on Woods.
Take on Woods. Woods.
No, just random. I don't have a name here. Caller, who's this?
Scott.
Scott, are you calling in for Take on Woods? John, you're going to go up first. He's standing by outside our studio. He'll come in after you go. And if you can beat or tie him, we will hook you up with the tickets. Now, today, because it's John, I have a special mystery category for both of you. So you're going in the dark. He's going in the dark. No advantage, no disadvantage. Just five questions, 60 seconds. With our first questions, our two-second song, you need to give me the title and the artist, and then you try to figure out what all of these answers have in common. Scott, are you ready to play?
Sure am.
All right. Paulie, are you ready to go? All right, here we go.
I'm ready.
Sammy, feel free to play along as well. 60 seconds on the clock. Our mystery category, Scott, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on John.
The beat is on.
Incorrect. Let's try this one. Which Country Music Hall of Famer took a gamble when he opened up a chain of fast casual chicken restaurants in the 1990s?
Kenny Rogers.
Correct. Born with the last name of Gorlick, which musician from Seattle took up the saxophone at age 10?
Kenny G.
Correct. Which country music star married actress Renee Zellweger in May of 2005? They had the marriage annulled in December of that same year. You can pass if you don't know it. What is the real name of 12-time Grammy Award-winning R&B artist Babyface?
Pass. The first one's Heat Is On, though.
It's still not the Heat Is On. Which country star married actress Renee Zellweger
in
May of 2005? They had the marriage annulled in December of that same year. What did your answer? All right. So the answers, they had something in common. Because you got Kenny Rogers and Kenny G. 2 points. Hang on the line, Scott. It was Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins. Sammy knew that one.
Well, I didn't know the name of the artist. I knew the song.
Kenny Chesney was the country artist who married Renee Zellweger. And Kenneth Edmonds is Babyface. They're all Kennys in our category today. All right, let's bring in John. Scott, hang on the line. We'll see how you do here. Welcome, John. It is good to see you again. We have our contestant on the line, Scott. His score is locked in.
Go ahead.
We're going to get the camera followed
just
Sam.
The camera loves Sam.
Yeah, camera does love Sam.
I don't blame it.
John, how have you been?
I've been good. I finally got over my Padres hangover.
Yeah. Still got your Padres sweatshirt on.
Of course I
like
do.
That.
First time I've worn it since the Friday loss. By the way, R.I.P. Fernando Valenzuela.
Yes, we talked about that earlier. I feel the same way.
Mad respect. Come on, man.
Maybe my favorite Dodger ever.
Bar none. And he was a Padre, too.
Yeah, he was.
For a cup of coffee.
All right. This is a mystery category. So you don't get you get to figure it out as you go.
Okay.
All right. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, John. Let's take on Scott.
Danger Zone, Kenny Loggins.
Correct. Which Country Music Hall of Famer took a gamble when he opened up a chain of fast casual
Kenny
chicken?
Kenny Rogers.
Correct. Born with the last name of Gorlick, which musician from Seattle took up the saxophone at age 10?
Kenny G.
Correct. Which country star married actress Renee Zellweger?
Kenny Chesney.
Correct. What's the real name of 12-time Grammy Award-winning R&B artist Babyface?
Kenneth Babyface Edmonds?
Yes!
Wow!
You know what? I talked about John getting kind of confident in this game and that he wants to take on Woods at some point. That was an impressive performance.
Thank you.
Again, John.
Guys named Ken or Kenneth, obviously, is the theme, correct?
It was. So it's all Kennys for you.
All right.
Scott, thank you for playing.
Sorry, Scott.
Did not work out for you today. I did. There was a couple of country names in there that didn't hurt.
That was a softball.
Coming from over where you come from. But
that was a softball, especially the joke. I'm sorry, the marriage between Kenny Chesney and Renee Zellweger.
But what's the story there?
Well,
I mean it was a null, so obviously there was something going on.
There's rumors swirling about that will always remain just unsubstantiated.
Okay.
But I will say that Kenny was a guy that didn't. I think he thought he needed to get married.
Ah, true.
And Renee thought it was kind of cool because she was kind of the hippest thing.
It was more of a marriage of Hollywood convenience.
I think they realized pretty quickly, both of them, that this was not going to be a match made in heaven.
All right. Thank you, John. Good to see you. Thanks for stopping by. Another victory. He is setting the stage for an epic clash someday soon against Woodsy, for sure. All right. We've got Don't Do This coming up next. Sammy, let's see. What do I've got? All right, I thought there was a pretty, since we were just talking about LeBron and Bronny, there's pretty cool Nike. Did anyone see the Nike commercial that came out yesterday with the two of them?
Yes.
I thought it was pretty funny. We might throw that in Do This when we come back next after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Have Adam Jones joining us in about 10 minutes. Preview the World Series with AJ on a Big League Wednesday. Looking forward to that. First, little DDT. Sam Levitt in here on a Wednesday for Woodsy. And I'm going to start with a story from the NFL, Sammy. We didn't get to it yesterday, but I did want to bring it up. So, Tua, quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa, is back at practice and is expected to start this week after suffering yet another concussion. I think it was the third of his NFL career and fourth really big one since college.
Yeah.
And he's been out the last few weeks, put him on injured reserve, but he is, beyond his symptoms and cleared for return. However, Tua did announce yesterday when he was asked, or 2 days ago when he was asked, that he will not be wearing the, they call it the guardian cap. It's the add-on on top of the helmet, like a little foam padding that gives you some extra protection against concussion impact. And he simply said, personal choice, not going to wear it.
Yeah.
And then kind of went on to say, and I mean, this is his right, but he said, well, how much risk do we take when we get up in the morning to go drive to work, get into a car crash? I don't know. Everything, I think, takes risk. So to answer that question, every time we all suit up, we're all taking a risk that we could potentially get hurt, whether it's a concussion, a broken bone, anything. While I understand his argument, that's like saying, well, I mean, I'm not going to wear a seatbelt in a car. It's just, it's just foolish not to do that.
It
seems foolish. There's no, as far as I know, you can't, if you're wearing a guardian cap, you can't tell you're wearing it. It's not, doesn't get in your vision.
Right.
It's just simply an added layer of protection. Right. The only reason someone wouldn't wear it, as far as I understand, looks a little goofy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that, to me, I don't know why they don't all just wear it every single game.
I don't know why they don't make like a helmet that incorporates whatever that is.
Just puts it in. And they have made better helmets that do incorporate some of it. But, I mean, if you can add, they say NFL has cited studies that a concussion impact is reduced by 10% with a guardian cap and 20% if two of them. It's not perfect. It's not a, it's not a panacea. You're not going to take concussions out of the game of football just with this. But there's something you can do that is going to, well, I mean, the same thing happened when they introduced helmets to the NHL. And they've grandfathered in players who started playing without helmets. They said, if you want to continue your career without one, go ahead. But why would you not? I mean, you know, it's just the chance that you get a skate on the head or a puck on the head and you could have something protecting you seems pretty obvious. But some guys just don't want to do it.
Seems foolish. Look, It is his choice. If he doesn't want to wear it, I guess they can't force him to wear it. But it seems, with the severity of his concussions in particular, it seems foolish not to take extra precaution.
I don't think he meant any ill will with his comments.
No, I don't think so either.
But that clip going around, you know, I appreciate your concern, but I love this sport. I'm going to play it till the death of me. I might have misquoted him there, but it was something along those lines.
Yeah.
And I go, man, I don't know that I would have said that.
Well, it sets like sort of a weird precedent, because he probably isn't going to be the last guy to have really bad concussion issues.
Right.
So I think the problem for the NFL and for him is when you have a situation like that, especially a quarterback who's incredibly important to your franchise, what do you do? How do you treat that? And how do you balance his health and his health as a human versus playing football? But I agree with you. I think it's kind of foolish not to take a precaution that could maybe prevent you from having another concussion.
Just quickly on the same topic of helmets. I don't know if either of you saw this. I was watching college football on Saturday, and I think it was the University of Illinois. And they had painted, it was like a special game, and they had painted their helmets to look like the old leather helmets from like the 1920s and 30s. Actually looked really cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
They were real helmets. They just looked like the old leather
helmets. I was watching that game. The most shocking thing, aside from really how cool the helmets look, was Illinois was number one, a ranked team, and then beating Michigan.
All right. Cameron brings up a point that I hadn't considered in our chat, in our YouTube stream. Guardian caps have some weight to them. Oh. Doesn't really affect a tight end or an offensive lineman for a quarterback. Scanning left to right and back, maybe it could make more of a difference than just looking goofy. All right, that maybe is a fair point. Quarterbacks have a lot on their plate, and if there's just even a tiny bit of difference, I can see maybe that's a legitimate argument. All right, how does a do this turn into a don't do this? Last night, the Boston Celtics opened the NBA season. They raised their 18th championship banner, got their championship rings, and then went out and put together a dominating performance against one of the teams that a lot of people thought might challenge them this year, the New York Knicks, with the moves that they had made, adding Karl-Anthony Towns. Celtics just blew their doors off by making three-pointer after three-pointer, 17 of them in the first half, and then 12 more in the first, like, 15 minutes of the second half. So they're at 29. That is the NBA record for three-pointers. Still 8 minutes and 50 seconds left in the game. And everybody at TD Garden knows, one more three. They're chanting, one more three. They know this record is going down tonight. There's no way this record is not going to fall on this special opening night where you get your rings and you raise your banner. Except they could not make another one. They kept firing them up time after time. Brick, airball, brick, brick. And when the final buzzer sounded, the Celtics had gone 0 for their last 13 from three-point range and had to settle for tying. I think it was the Timberwolves' record of 29 made three-pointers in a game.
It was one of those things, like, in any other situation, they would have just dribbled the ball, passed, you know, maybe chucked up a shot right at the end, but you're just running the clock for those last couple of minutes. No, they were trying to hit threes. They were, like, trying to get open looks.
They wanted that record.
The whole arena was just, like, waiting for it, and it never
Pressure's
happened.
Pressure's a funny thing, because you think, hey, we're up by 30 points. What's the big deal?
Right.
But you knew the record was on the line all of a sudden.
And then they finally had the possession at the end.
Could not hit water if they fell out of a boat, like Tommy Lasorda said of Kurt Bavakwa.
Crazy. So how many did they score last night?
So
even
they
missing
made,
all the threes?
They made 29. And scored 132 points, I think, and then missed their last 13.
So imagine had they hit. Like,
I mean, just the percentage they were hitting.
For the 13. That,
they should have made like six or seven more of those and, you know, scored 150 points in the game.
Yeah. But, by the way, another one of my team's disaster last night, the Knicks.
All right, quickly, because we got Adam Jones coming up. Do this. I mentioned it in the last segment. We talked about LeBron and Bronny. Nike, of course, trying to take advantage of the moment. They released an ad yesterday. It was kind of funny if you saw it. It is basically their LeBron goes out into the driveway and he's pouring Fruity Pebbles into Bronny's BMW through the skyroof, and then he hides and Bronny comes out and opens and these Fruity Pebbles just start pouring out of the car. And then Bronny gets in his car and he goes, don't be late, to practice, Rook. Like, hey, and clean up my driveway. That's a mess. I only bring it up because I love Fruity Pebbles. I mean,
really?
I rarely
LeBron
let myself
has a shoe
have them.
That's designed to
like look Fruity.
Like
he
Fruity
must.
Pebbles.
Do you think he likes Fruity Pebbles too?
Yeah.
They're guilty pleasure of mine when it comes to cereals.
I'll get you those LeBrons maybe for your birthday.
Thanks.
Would you wear, like, you don't really wear, like,
I'm
basketball
not a shoe
shoes.
Guy. Yeah. I wear flip-flops every single day, Sam. Every day.
Then in, like, brand new, cool basketball shoes.
So does Chris Ello. Chris Ello also. I think I've only seen Chris in flip-flops in this building.
Yeah. Well, you know, he and I both have large calves, so we wear the shorts, show them off. And when you wear shorts, flip-flops really are the choice. Because otherwise, it's weird because you got socks and shorts on, and that does not look good. So kind of just a style choice that I make in the mornings.
I don't do flip-flops. I do the Birkenstocks. I tried when I first moved here. Those
East Coast
those rainbow flip-flops.
Yeah.
I don't like the between the toes.
Yeah, you got to get used to it. But
like,
once you do,
like
it's
the
way
Birkenstocks.
Better. Way better than Birkenstocks. I don't like the straps all over my feet.
I you could argue the flip-flops are a better look. The Birkenstocks, yeah. They were a big thing in summer camp, though. That's when I got put on Birkenstocks.
Summer camp. That's a
we
East Coast
talk,
thing
oh,
as
we
well.
Talk
isn't
about
it?
I'd like to hear some summer camp stories.
Talk about summer camp.
Coming up on Ben and Woods.
8
after,
o'clock.
After AJ joins us, Sammy's summer camp stories ahead. We'll talk to Adam Jones when we come back on 97.3 The Fan. Somehow we are still 48 hours or more away from Game 1 of the World Series. Long break here, Sammy, between the end of the LCS and the start of the World Series.
Yeah.
It was supposed to not happen. They designed it that, okay, if they end early, we're going to start it on Tuesday. We'd be already heading to Game 2. But because the Dodger-Mets series went one game longer to Game 6, we have to wait now until Friday.
Yeah, it seems, I mean, we can ask Adam about it. It seems excessive. It seems like a long way off.
Yeah,
I mean,
maybe
4 days all of a sudden.
I guess maybe if they had just said, if the NLCS goes 6, we can start on Tuesday. Because it ended on, did it end on Sunday?
Sunday.
So I guess that would have been too fast. That's the problem. It would have been a one-day turnaround
for
the
Dodgers. And then you got
the
one team that, you know, has two more days or even more than that than the other team. It does give both teams a chance to reset their pitching. I get it.
And we did get the matchup officially announced. Gerrit Cole against Jack Flaherty.
Yeah.
Going to go game one for the Dodgers. We'll talk about it with Adam Jones. He's standing by right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, joining us, the five-time All-Star, Adam Jones. He's been at his home in Barcelona the last few times that we have spoken, but I am told that it is time for another edition of Where in the World is Adam Jones? AJ, we got Sammy Levitt here in for Woods this morning. Where are we finding you this morning or afternoon?
Pleasure. Afternoon, yes. I am in Copenhagen, Denmark right now, and last night, I'm telling you, I don't know how, but last night I had arguably the best tacos I've ever had. And I had friends question me, friends questioning my gangster.
I mean, I trust you. You're a San Diego guy.
I don't know
how.
Exactly.
You know tacos.
I know all about fried shells. These tacos in Copenhagen, phenomenal.
I am stunned. I mean, if you want to follow AJ on Twitter, it's simply
too.
Simply AJ10, you can get hot food takes like cardamom bums are average, LOL. Yeah, I said it. Here's some advice. Just have a cinnamon roll like the rest of us, AJ. What are you doing with cardamom buns?
Well, I'm in, you know me, where I'm at, I'm a local guy.
All right.
You know, wherever I'm at, I'm drinking the local beer, I'm eating the local food. So, you know, the cardamom buns are the ones that the people just crave over, and I call them cardamom bums. Because they didn't live up to it in my estimation. My wife loved them, but they didn't live up to in my estimation to what people were talking about. And a lot of people said, yeah, go get yourself a cinnamon roll. And of course, you know, you can always find a cinnamon roll, but you know me, whenever I'm in a place, I'm going to be a local.
He is. All right.
He just told me on the phone earlier, go look at his Instagram story. He posted the tacos. They look good.
Good tacos in Denmark, the land of Hamlet,
amazing.
The Prince of Denmark. All right, we got our matchup, and obviously the powers that be in Major League Baseball are very excited about Yankees Dodgers. And while Padres fans aren't too happy about it, I'm sure Red Sox and other fans who hate the Yankees don't love it. I think it really is a terrific World Series matchup. I wish the Padres were there, but this is going to be one that is going to, you know, be very compelling, I think, AJ.
I mean, this is, if you're talking about the premier matchups of what you want, like, I've seen a tweet talking about getting in basketball, you know, you're getting generally the top players going against each other, superstars going against each other. This is the first time in a while that you're getting really the top two players arguably in the game, 1A, 1B, I believe. And you're getting them and their teams going against each other. I think, obviously, globally and growing this game, this is enormous. You're going to get an X amount of millions of viewership that are going to be from overseas, Japan, Korea, Taiwan, I believe are going to be televising the game. And you're going to get the entire United States watching the game in, too, because a lot of people say, I'm not going to watch the game, my team ain't in it. You crazy as all crap. You watching the game. You watching the series. And I think, you know, I think baseball fans, especially the other two markets, want everyone, both teams to lose like I do. But one of them is going to have to be the victor, and it stinks because if the Dodgers win, we're going to have to hear about it. And if the you guys have to hear about it, and I have to hear about it also. But if the Orioles win, I got to hear about it. Or the Yankees, I have to hear about it. So either way.
You're no win. Yeah, that's a good point.
This is the opposite of the Padres and Orioles World Series. I'm going to have to hear about it either way, but just for growing the game and globally, this is the perfect matchup, perfect timing. And I think baseball fans would love to see Game 7 and maybe Ohtani jog out of that bullpen.
Hey, Adam, how do you view the pitching in this series? Because obviously the Dodger bullpen has been great. They've relied on it heavily. It'll be Flaherty in Game 1. We'll see if he has a better start than what he did in his last start of the NLCS against the Mets. Do you think the Dodgers can keep kind of rolling with what they've done pitching-wise against this lineup, relying as heavily on their bullpen as they have? Because I'll tell you, I thought Game 6 of that NLCS, I actually thought a lot of those Dodger relievers were not particularly sharp, and they were sort of playing with fire against that Mets lineup, even though they won the game. Do you think what they've done bullpen-wise is sustainable in another seven-game series against the caliber of a lineup like the Yankees have?
Well, you finished it with the right. That's exactly what I was going to say, is that the Yankees going to make you work.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you are, the Yankees make you work. And, you know, vice versa, the Dodgers are going to make the Yankees work. It's, to me, you know, you got Cole, Yamamoto, Flaherty, Rondon. I mean, again, none of them are going complete games. You're not seeing a complete game ever in the postseason, I believe. Not in our lifetime. Jeez, it's really hard for you guys to go 6-7.
Yeah.
I think the bullpens are going to be the number one most important thing this entire series. Both lineups are stacked deep. Both lineups are veteran lineups that work the count, and they just make you work. So I think whoever bullpen blinks first is going to be Evan Phillips. It's going to be Blake Treinen. It's going to be Weaver. It's going to be Hill. And I think, you know, it's going to be late game matchups of who can get out consecutively Soto, Judge, Stanton right now, and who can get out Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman. And Teoscar, yeah, he had a slow NLCS, but again, he's facing a very, very familiar team.
Big league wins.
You know he wants to go off with.
Sorry, I jumped in there. Interrupter Ben. Big League Wednesday. We got Adam Jones with us here. And there's a topic I wanted to bring up earlier. We haven't actually played the audio, but Aaron Judge was talking about Shohei yesterday. What a great player he is. You know, all the different things that he can do. Yada, yada, on and on. And then he ended by saying he's a great ambassador for baseball. And I just stopped down for a second. And I wanted to get your take on what being an ambassador for the game is. I personally, Adam, think it's very hard to be a player, a current player, and an ambassador. I think of you, like in particular, as being a great ambassador for the game of baseball. But is Shohei Ohtani, he's a great player. He's obviously a worldwide brand. He brings a lot of eyeballs to the game. But do you consider him an ambassador to baseball?
I do, because again, with all the branding, he's a great guy. And I think LA opened that up more for him, because the market is going to open up your personality. Like his dog catching the first or throwing the first pitch or whatever he did. I mean, like, things like that would never happen in Anaheim, because the market isn't going to push that. LA market don't care about you. It's going to force you to open up. It's going to force you to show your personality. And I think that's what was the last thing missing. Is no one knew Shohei. And again, we still don't know him. But I think the game knows him better than they did in this year than they did over the six years in down in Anaheim. And, you know, you see him with the emotions. He never showed that in Anaheim again. They weren't winning, so it's kind of hard to show positive emotions when you're getting whooped often. But I just think that he's, you know, obviously being global, being Japanese, but he also does speak the language. You see his interactions with his teammates. I think he's, you know, one of the best, if not the best. Obviously, I think Aaron Judge is phenomenal because he's got MVPs going against each other. And just how Judge is, he always seems to say the right things. I don't know if he sat down with Derek Jeter and did that the Yankee way, but he always says the right things no matter if he's struggling, no matter what. It's always about the team and organization. And, you know, that's how Ohtani seems to be.
I guess, my point was, and you said it, we still don't really know him. There's so much that is a mystery about Shohei, and that's fine. You know, his job is to be a baseball player, but I feel like if you want to be an ambassador, you really have to open yourself up, do a lot of, like, you know, media and interviews. Like Joey Votto was a guy who I would say was an ambassador of baseball while he was a player. You know, in terms of the openness.
To the Votto thing. Votto's his last 2 years opened up.
Okay, before that Votto lateness.
He said five words.
It's hard to do.
I would go Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
Because Mookie has a podcast. Mookie plays against you the night before and then makes you wake up early and come to his podcast. Like, Mookie's a gangster with that.
I agree with that.
I think Mookie is, to me, always been one of the best because his personality has always been so welcoming and warm. So, I mean, there's a lot of I'll put Mookie higher than Shohei.
I would agree with that.
Ambassadorship of the game.
But then there's like a Mike Trout, who I would say is not an ambassador of the game at all. He's a great player. And there's nothing wrong with that, AJ. You know, it's just different for different people.
Yeah. I think it's a personality. You know, Trout, if you know Trout, Trout loves baseball and sitting in his blind trying golf. Can you sit in that blind trying to hunt something? Those are his three passions. He loves his family, but those are his three passions. And, like, I got to play with guys like Nick Markakis and J.J. Hardy who loved the game of baseball. But once the game was over, they never spoke of it. I'd go to his house, and he would never talk about baseball, ever. Never mentioned it, never mentioned a thing about it. It's hunting. I'm out on my dirt bikes, fishing. And it's like, sometimes it's really cool when you see someone able to just be free and break away from it, like Trout does. But I've told him many times, and many of our circle has told him, like, bro, you are the best player in the game. You know, do more. You know, and I know you don't want to, but do more because of your status in the game. And obviously you don't want to, but sometimes when you are a great, when you are a legend, that just comes with the territory that you have to speak. You have to be more of a leader. And that just, you know, unfortunately that comes with the role of being so awesome.
Adam, I wanted to ask you really a two-part question about Juan Soto, because obviously the at-bat in Game 5 of that championship series was unbelievable. I mean, I'm sitting there watching it live, and you could see Juan literally, like, licking his lips at Hunter Gaddis and obviously hit the home run, one of the real great moments of this postseason. If you were a GM and you're looking at Juan Soto and what he might command on the open market, if you're sitting in New York or wherever, you know, whatever teams will be interested in him, how do you view, number one, I guess Soto, the player, the idea that he could make, you know, 500 plus million, or is that worth it to you for one player, for a guy like Soto at his age, for however many years? Would you rather spread that money around? How do you view, I guess, number one, Soto the player, what we saw in that at bat, and also kind of the big picture with him moving forward into the winter?
Well, I mean, since Soto came into the league, he's been one of the best players, especially on the offensive side. He is a tremendous offensive player, tremendous. And what helped him this year, I believe, was being in the stadium, being in that short porch right field. That's an easy right field to play. You got 81 games there. Then you go to Boston, which is a tough right field to play. He's only there for 7-8 games. You go to Baltimore, easy right field to play. Toronto, easy right field, and so is Tampa. I think being in that division helped his defense. I mean, he wasn't a game. He's a Gold Glove finalist, but he's one of the best right fielders defensively in baseball. We can argue that all we want. But is he one of the best offensive guys? So that's for sure.
Yeah.
And New York is the place. Now, is it the Mets or is it the Yankees? But I think the world seeing him on the biggest stage, you're in New York, you're on the biggest stage, and he's held accountable. I think that's what he really needed. San Diego is a great, great, great place to play. The stadium is great. All everything is great. The market will not hold you accountable in the grand scheme of baseball. When Robinson Cano went to Seattle, he could go 4-for-4 with 3 home runs, and it was a blip note underneath. No one cared. You go to New York, Robinson Cano's 0-for-4 is, we're going to talk about it, and you're going to show his full at-bats. It's just the market holds you accountable, and I think that was the most important thing for him, is that the New York market held him accountable and will hold him accountable for your play. On a bigger scale than San Diego would, and we all know that. So I think him going there was special and important. Now, the length, you know, he's 25 years old. You're talking at least 10 years and, you know, 50 million a year. I think obviously that's the market and what it's going to command. I think New York is the best place for him in that market. Again, there's other markets that can't afford it, but I think New York is the best for him, and the city will make him, I think, keep him on this path to being a Hall of Fame aimed player, because New York City is, they don't play. They don't care. They ripped into Lindor. They ripped into Judge early in the year. They tore Jeter apart many times. So they don't care. They want a winner, and I think that city will hold him accountable, and him, Judge, for the next foreseeable future, that's pretty scary.
Media's fault again, as usual. Either we're too hard on players, or we don't hold them accountable enough. There is no winning in this job, Adam, at all. But I do appreciate the fact that you are in the land of tacos, Copenhagen, Denmark.
When in doubt, blame the media.
Quickly, you got 10 seconds. What's your prediction? Who wins the series?
Both lose, but I go with the Yankees in 7.
Yankees in 7. Right. Adam on record. That. All right, we will see you again soon. Thank you very much, Adam.
All right.
Adam Jones on a Big League Wednesday picks the New York Yankees in 7 games. I saw like 2/3 of the Athletic staff picked the Yankees. I think they're nuts. I think the Dodgers, to me, I'd be shocked if they don't win this series. I'm not rooting for them.
I'm shocked that you'd be shocked.
I think the Dodgers are just almost top to bottom better than the Yankees.
Really?
Yes. Well, we got stuff to talk about, including Sammy's camp
stories.
Let's
talk about the accountable thing, too.
When we come back with more Better Woods on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.